Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet with you on a beautiful day at the Wells Fargo Championship. What you guys don't understand is we just got caught schmoozing. We were out, so I have no idea if Smoke said anything to us. I have no idea if Davion Nixon is on the line because we got caught schmoozing with Joe Person.
Of the Athletic, of course, formerly of the Observer.
Of the Athletic. We don't talk about the Observer anymore.
I say formerly.
Because of, listen, we've chosen our side, except when Rick Bunnell comes on. Smoke, do we have Davion yet? We will work to get Davion Nixon here.
Might be a good time to revisit your rankings. Where did you have the interior of this defensive line?
Number two of the positional groups for the Carolina Panthers. I'm really bullish on this group.
I am too. And they're my number one.
I got to be honest with you guys. I love me some Davion Nixon. This dude just did work at Iowa. And, like, I was offended on behalf of Davion Nixon when he fell to the fifth round. Like, I somehow, after reading, listen to this, 2020 honors for Davion Nixon. Unanimous consensus All-American,
yep.
One of three finalists for the Outland Trophy, one of five finalists for the Bronco Nagurski Award, one of 20 players on the Walter Camp Player of the Year watch list, semifinalist for the Bednarik, first team All-American by the AP, Sporting News, FWAA, AFCA, we need more initials in there, and then Smith Brown, Big Ten Conference Defensive Player of the Year. Big Ten Conference Defensive Player of the Year by the AP. First 10 All-Team Big Ten by coaches and media, and first team All Big Ten by AP and Phil Steele. When this dude started to fall, again, it wasn't like Aaron Rodgers' fall because we didn't have Davion.
No expectations that high.
Well, and we didn't have him on camera to where, sure. Like, you got to watch Aaron Rodgers' soul leave his body.
It was uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable.
But yet, it made me uncomfortable thinking about this dude. And you know, the Panthers were up front with one of the reasons why, the alleged reason why Davion fell were off-the-field things.
Mm-hmm.
And while I understand that, this kid is just an all-American bleep kicker. And he's got some dudes in front of him that are going to be tough to take down. Daquan Jones obviously being one of them. And I like you, also like what Bravian Roy did last year. I got long-term high hopes for this kid. As long as he is ready to go, and I don't see a reason why he wouldn't be, I think he's going to do some work. I'm very, very excited about his pick. He actually might be the one that I'm most excited about.
So he's a guy. And you get these guys. You know, the off-the-field stuff is going to bother some people. It's just the way the draft falls. This was not a great year for interior defensive linemen to make hay. A lot of guys. Christian Barmore out of Alabama. Everybody's number one rated interior defensive lineman. He fell. I thought Tampa may look at him at the bottom of the first round. So I'm just saying that we saw a pattern that those interior defenders, this just wasn't one of those years. Now, here's the good thing. You know me. I like guys that have something to prove. I like guys that are motivated. We now have a gentleman that's motivated. And if he can play up to what his ability is, and on the defensive side of the ball specifically, when I see how much better Derrick Brown was at the end and the beginning, when I think about Bravian Roy, when I saw how he played, F.A. Obata taking the next step, I got to give a credit to the coaching staff of Phil Snow. They have developed dudes on that up front. Itua Gross Matos got better. Brian Burns had a career year. We can keep going.
And again, if you guys are just joining us, we are efforting to get Davion Nixon, Panthers' fifth-round pick here. But I can tell you, most people can identify with what it feels like to fall in the draft. Because if you've been out at the club at about 1:30, and all of a sudden people start pairing off, right? She leaves with that dude, right? He leaves with her. And all of a sudden you're like, am I Mr. Relevant here? Am I going to be the last draft pick? I might just be talking through some remembrances of college and being the guy that, like, 259 was like, nope, okay, I guess I'll go home and going to be a little time for some Star Wars and Han Solo.
Oh, and tonight, a margarita for those that will partake in Cinco de Mayo.
So I do think, like, there is nothing more identifiable in the world than dudes falling in the draft. And it has become this thing, especially, like, I honestly thought Davion Nixon was going to be a third-round pick. And I thought that was his floor. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can really empathize with these dudes. And we actually have him now on the Technicom hotline welcoming us, Panthers' fifth-round pick, Davion Nixon. Davion, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you guys for having me.
Well, we're happy to have you here. Welcome to Carolina, man. Welcome to Charlotte. I don't know if you're in town. It is a ridiculously beautiful day that we're having. This is what you can come to expect living in the beautiful metropolis of Charlotte. But I got to ask you, man, we were just talking about your fall in the draft and how I was outraged on behalf of you after watching you punish people at Iowa. What, as we talk about draft weekend, what is going through your head as you start to fall third round, fourth round, and finally through the fifth round?
Really, it's kind of like nerve-wracking at first. You just kind of sit there and you're just waiting and you're waiting and you're just hoping that, you know, someone calls your name. And then when you finally get your name picked, like I did in the fifth round, then it's like the most overwhelming thing in the world just to be know you have the opportunity to get selected by a team to get drafted in the first place, you know. For me, it wasn't really about what round. It was more so where I'm going and who I'm playing for. So just having faith in guy who I trust, I just know that I got picked right where I needed to be. So,
you can admit it. Were you a little pissed? Like, once you got in, like, the early fifth round, were you a little pissed that you had fallen?
It was, like, a little – I was a little upset, you know. Of course, everyone felt like they should be in the first round. They feel like their potential is higher than the draft shows. But, you know, at this point, you know, it kind of is what it is. And I'm just, you know, happy and ready to get to Charlotte.
Davion, staying Northfleet here, man. Congratulations. I was not fortunate enough to be drafted. Doesn't matter what round it was.
Neither was I.
So you'll have that associated with your name for the rest of your life. Congrats and welcome to town, man. What has the coaching staff shared with you about how they plan to use you in this rotation and what your role will be here?
Right now, we haven't really gotten to too much depth upon that. Right now, I'm just too much learning the plays and trying to, you know, figure out the scheme of the defense first before, you know, I don't think they're going to be too much telling me of where my role will be just yet. You know, I think I'll be playing maybe three tech or nose, I'm not too sure. But we just got to wait and see.
Davion Nixon, Panthers' fifth-round pick here. Stan, I know you had another one.
I was just curious. He mentioned maybe it's the three tech, maybe it's the nose. Davion, do you have a preference? If they were to ask you, based on what you've done in your football resume thus far, where you would feel most impactful?
I would feel like I'm most impactful anywhere on the defensive line, defensive end, deep tackle, deep nose. You know, you put me out there and give me an assignment, I'm going to do what I need to do and execute. So anywhere I'm on the field, I feel like I could produce.
Davion, I got to know, man. I'm going to tell you, as a non-athletic dude, I'm never going to know what it's like when that first NFL check hits the bank account.
Oh, boy.
So I want to know, what are you going to do when that first check clears and you see that draft statement from your bank in your email?
I haven't really decided. I thought about, you know, putting a lot of that money away, saving it so I can build my mom.
There you go.
And
I love that. Go ahead.
and then invest into some real estate with my my girlfriend. But right now,
so she's right there next to you. That's what I'm hearing.
No, she's not next to me right now. She's actually back in Wisconsin right now. I'm in Iowa at my house, and she's in Wisconsin helping out her mom and daycare. So, but that's the plan. The plan is to save as much money as we possibly can, invest in some real estate, you know, and grow our fortune enough to where my parents, her parents, my kids will never have to work for nothing. So that's like the plan right now.
And a PS5. Am I right?
I got one of those already.
You know he had one of those already. That's the voice of Davion Nixon, new Panthers interior defensive lineman, fifth-round pick out of Iowa, joining us via the Technicom guest line. Afternoons on Sports Radio FNZ. That's Nick Wilson staying Northfleet here. You mentioned Iowa, something that I did not know at the time. I had to do my homework. Real quickly, the transfer, you originally went to Iowa Western, a school that I had not heard of, and made your way to Iowa. What can you share with us about that transition, and do you think that put a chip on your shoulder, and is that a product of how you produced this year at Iowa, knowing football looks a lot different than some other places across the country?
No, it definitely is. It definitely is. So what happened was, the story is that when I was in high school, my senior year, Iowa comes to me. They give me an offer, but my grades aren't the best. You know, I'm not the brightest kid in school, so my grades were very bad. And I learned that I found that I had a learning disability, so I wasn't able to get the grades that I needed. So what Iowa did was they set me up with Iowa Western, so I could play a semester there, a year there, and therefore I would be able to go to Iowa afterwards. So that's how that happened.
Davion, you know, one of the – I always hate asking this question because, it's just people saying things. But one of the reported reasons why you had a little fall in the draft was off the field. Yet I'm sitting here talking with you, man, and you just seem like a great kid. You just seem like, you know, you didn't say, I'm going to go out and buy the nicest car I can find. You didn't say, I'm going to go to the club and blow $20K.
Oh, he is going to the club. There will be a celebration.
And
Davion, I got your back, bro.
And Davion, the invite can be sent at Nick Wilson.
Quit begging to hang out with guys. Davion, ignore that part.
But I got to ask you, man, what is your response to the notion that part of your fall could have been due to off-the-field things?
I'm not too sure what my fall was, you know, why I felt so late. It could have been a number of things of what I did when I was 4, what I did when I was 17 or something like that. It could have been a number of things. The NFL does a very thorough background check. So I'm not too sure, you know, whatever it is. I know that it probably was a mistake in my past and that I've matured and grown from it. And I feel like that's why the Panthers have given me the chance that they gave me and selected me. So,
Davion, having been out there at one point, and again, it's a totally different set of circumstances, don't get me wrong. When did you know? Sunday is going to happen for me. And I'm going to be as competitive on Sunday, so you believe. I know you got to have that in your spirit. But I like understanding from guys. Some guys know day one from the moment they pick up a football. When did he hit you? Sundays is going to happen.
I want to say that it really didn't hit me until probably my senior year. Once I started getting a whole bunch of offers and looks from school. And then it hit me again when I was at Iowa Western and Alabama offered me. And I was like, well, Alabama's offering me. If I go to Alabama, I know I'm going to the league somewhere, somehow. But, so I feel like my senior year, around senior year, going into my first year of college, it definitely hit home. Like, you know, we can make something special out of this, so.
Follow this young man on Twitter right now, at Davion Nixon. Although, Davion, I see you got the DMs open. I'd close those right now, right? Remember,
yeah.
Remember, we got to close those. That's a dangerous situation there. But no, really, man, really nice to get to meet you here for a minute or two and get to know you. We wish you the best, and we're excited to see what you can do for the Panthers this year.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of
Hey, you're good, man.
Davion Nixon.
Congratulations
there
again.
On the Technicom.
We forgot to tell them, a ton of people here that represent the Iowa Hawkeyes. Mm. A lot of people, they got a contingent. I've seen
Billy
the flags
flying.
Billy was the one that made me think about it. But
you know what I forgot to ask him?
What's that?
He's gonna, like, his draft classmate at defensive tackle is called Big Snack. I wanted to ask him.
Oh, you forgot the nickname thing. Yeah.
Mm. You know what? That's why I'm not in New York yet, guys. 704-570-9610. Hit us up on the text line or on the Diamonds Direct Twitter feed. Great stuff with Davion there. Great stuff with LaMelo last night. Sports Radio FNZ. Radio FNC, the rundown coming up in 60 minutes with Nick and Stan, but it's time for you to get in to win a pair of tickets to see Genesis, the Last Domino Tour with Phil Collins. Go to WFNZ.com's contest page now and enter the keyword Domino for your shot at two tickets to the show here on November 20th at Spectrum Arena. You'll have another chance to win in today's show as well. Before we get to LaMelo Ball, before we get to what we saw last night, Stan, I just got to talk about what I just saw. So there's a cornucopia of people watching and people watching experiences that you get when you are at an event like the Wells Fargo Championship, right? And let me just tell you, very attractive-looking people, right? I'm clearly the dumpy person here, and that's okay. I have no problem with that.
Dumpy.
Yes, homely, dumpy, unbleepable, whatever words you would like to use.
Unbleepable.
I am in the bottom 10% of the attractiveness of people here, and I'm okay. I've resigned myself to it.
Yeah, you're married with three kids, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm as shocked as
somebody said yes.
Yes, and we continue to thank God for her questionable judgment. But like, I walked over, had to use the porta-johns here, and as I was walking over, I noticed these two attractive ladies. But they had a bouginess about them. There was a bougie air.
You're sounding very judgmental. I'm listening,
though. I am. Just wait till I hit it out of the park. However, I was like, oh, okay. They looked like they are sisters. They look almost like matching dresses. And I was like, okay, good for you. And I noticed that they were drinking, I believe, wine out of a disposable cup. And I was like, I'm jealous. I would like to be drinking wine right now. It is Cinco de Mayo, after all. I'd like to get my Drinko de Mayo on.
Mm-hmm.
Second Drinko de Mayo drop on the show. Go bleep myself. However, as I was coming back out, I only saw one of the sisters. Out of nowhere, the second sister did a pinwheel to, like, run into the Port-a-John area and did not see the lift that was there between the ground.
No.
And just absolute bit it.
Oh.
Just into the ground as if Lawrence Taylor just ran her flat over. And I did the thing that you do when you have an honest moment and you weren't expecting something. I laughed.
No, you didn't.
Right.
Did you laugh at that woman?
Right in her face.
Bruh. I'm disappointed.
You should have seen her face, Fleet.
I know.
She didn't see that stuff
coming. You can't do that, bro. Party foul.
What am I supposed to do?
You're supposed to come to. You okay, ma'am? Can I help you up? You okay?
I mean,
everything
she seemed
good
fine.
She might have a sprain. Look at that cart right there. Mm-hmm. That cart could be on the way to get that woman airlifted.
Okay.
To Novant somewhere.
I didn't know those things flew.
No, they would take her to the chopper.
Okay. So
some things you just can't laugh
so
at.
So this is, no, okay. If it was a grandma that fell, oh my gosh, ma'am, are you okay? Can I help you up? Where does it hurt? Right? Go right into instant triage. If it is a 25-year-old, and I will say it, a beautiful person in who has an air about them, who's clearly day drinking wine.
That's the real issue here. You felt some type of way that they had a swag that you felt might be a bit bougie. And so you wanted her to fall. You needed her to eat it right there in that area, especially by the Port-a-Johns, because it makes you feel like that's the good Lord getting her back. That's the curse of being beautiful.
Okay. Bleep it. I'll own it. Yeah. Yeah. I laughed hysterically because I saw karma in action. All right? Don't judge me.
You are super petty. How you going to be petty on Cinco de Mayo?
Because it's
wonderful
fun.
Golf course.
It's fun. Right? Why should I have to, hey, look, it's Halloween. Don't be petty now. No. No, sir. Holidays when you can be your most petty.
If you see a woman in distress, and certainly if it's an attractive woman, like, I just think it's our instinct, and it would do it for, most guys would do it for any woman. It's like, yo, are you good? You, sir, allowed your pettiness and your karma.
No, I think she got the karma.
You wanted it to happen.
Oh, so? So, okay, one could say I made it happen. One could say that I, in my head, subconsciously asked the universe, and the universe delivered it to me.
Because I'm your man and we're spiritual partners, mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of this part with the good Lord upstairs, and I'm going to ask him to forgive you for this.
All right. Well,
because then there's the request, then there's the laugh, and then you had the audacity to bring it on air, strike three.
You forgot that there's a strike four. I walked away. I laughed in her face and then walked away. Listen, you know what? Let's turn this back around on you.
What if she has a meter?
Oh, she's listening to Mix 106.9 or whatever we're calling it these days. She's not listening to this show.
107.9.
By the way, we love WLNK here. No, the reality is, if my big behind was day drinking and I tripped on something, I would require that people laugh, because people falling down is funny. And you know how I know? Chevy Chase made about $300 million in his career from that one thing.
That's fair, but people falling down is not always funny, because my point guard fell down. Yeah, that guy, number three overall, and it was not funny.
Okay, this is a stretch. This is officially a stretch, comparing LaMelo to somebody who's bougie there tripping and falling at the Porta Johns.
This is what you call a transition, and this is my signal to you that we should talk more about LaMelo right now.
Also,
because you're being petty.
Text line's backing me up. He's saying they actually belly laughed at the bougie girl falling. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Unbelievable.
Now, as we have this conversation.
Wait, hold on. Before we go there, had she demonstrated or verbalized her bouginess or her, what's my word, privilege to you?
Mm-hmm.
Had you gotten it directly, all bets are off.
Mm.
There was no exchange. Therefore, you, sir, are petty. And I'll be having a moment with the Lord after this segment.
All right. There's a lot more you're going to have to apologize. Like, we might want to start making a list here before the end of the show, and we only got an hour and a half to go. But as we have that conversation, one man whose game cannot be described as bougie is the great LaMelo Ball. He was back in a big way last night, 23 points, in a game that I can only describe as, good Lord, just let this game end. I was so mad at Hamidou Diallo, who, by the way, where did he inject the super soldier serum? Seriously.
He had a career night, bro.
It's John, what is it? It's not John Carter. Who's the noob from the Winter Falcon? So it's John whatever the bleep his name is, and Hamidou Diallo injecting super soldier serum together and saying, we want to be Steve Rogers. Like, that bleep happened last night before the game, but I digress.
While he's practicing Ramadan, by the way. Which I thought was...
I damn near went Muslim last night after seeing that stuff.
I'm like, how is he not properly nourished, and he's dropping 35 on my bugs? Go ahead, but we need to talk about last night in detail here.
What last night showed me, that was easily LaMelo Ball's best game since he's come back off the injury. And what it signified to me is, I don't care that it was against Detroit. It's LaMelo's time. If LaMelo wants to be the rookie of the year, do what you did last night again. If you want to be the 6th, 7th, or 8th seed, you're going to have to do what you did last night 7 more times in the regular season. I love Terry. Terry's cashed out right now.
He's spent.
Jalen McDaniels played his hind quarter off last night. Mm-hmm. Kid still turns the ball over too much. But there is no person X walking through that door, even when PJ comes back. From here on out, the final 7 games of this year, this is LaMelo. We need LaMelo to be a franchise player, because Gordon isn't healthy and Terry isn't his best self right now.
So, yes, the first thing that you gravitate to are the 23 points and the fourth quarter production. I love that he was able to step. I learned something about LaMelo last night. Crunch time, he stood on the line, free throws, bang, bang, put us up three, good night, everybody, in downtown Detroit at something called Little Caesars Arena. Terrible name, by the way. However,
terrible pizza.
Well, they might want to give us money, so we should probably...
You know what? I'll pay me money to stop saying your pizza's terrible. And yes, I am extra today, and I apologize for nothing.
Man, we can't take you outside at all. I'm going to – the question that is being asked, is LaMelo back?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know just yet. His best two performances over three games are against essentially the worst team in the Eastern Conference in Detroit. Not yet. Zach LaVine may be back tomorrow night.
No.
He is in.
The report is he will be back tomorrow.
Okay. Chicago, over at the Spectrum Center. Let me see you do it against a different level of competition. And Chicago has taken their lumps. But when you got LaVine and Vucevic on the floor, who else am I thinking? Markkanen is also with them. I need to continue to see the development. My expectations were very reasonable with him coming off that wrist.
Well, so it's not that I'm saying, oh, he has to be this. It is to say, if they're going to salvage where they are now with Miles out, with PJ and
PJ's back.
PJ's back.
He's coming back.
But that's one dude. Devontae, we don't know where he's at.
Devontae.
We don't know really where Terry's at, even though he's on the court. This is the time to step up.
Okay, Bubba.
Dramatic pause.
Yeah.
And show more of that franchise player type, just quality. That it factor that you talked about. And it's not that we should expect it. But I think that's what they're going to need for the final seven regular season games here.
It is my hope that LaMelo is not out there thinking about the Rookie of the Year trophy. Just play good ball and get this team in the best possible position, and the trophy will come with it.
Also, somebody saying props to Caleb Martin, too. Caleb had a very nice
balled.
Game.
Yeah, he did. He played extremely well.
Even when they're on the court and one of them's injured, I still don't know the difference between Cody and Caleb.
We've been over this.
Nope.
Cody has an O, but wears jersey 11. No O. Caleb has the O.
No, I don't think you understand.
That's easy.
I don't think you understand
that's
how
exactly right.
Confusing.
That's not. Look at the jersey. If there's an O, Caleb.
No, I don't think this is. You're turning this into trigonometry here.
It's unbelievable.
704-570-9610. Hit us up on the text line or on the Diamonds Direct Twitter feed. The question for you guys, is LaMelo all the way back? Here's another one. Is LaMelo going to have to carry the Hornets to the finish line here in the regular season? But when we come back, Matt Rhule said some really smart words on the quarterback situation yesterday. And he also has something that I think is something we need to acknowledge as a concern in that quarterback room. Sports Radio FNC. Radio FNC, Nick and Stan. Sports Radio WFNC has an all-new updated app. Go to your iTunes or Android app store, type in Sports Radio FNC and download. It's that easy. Hear the latest on the Hornets and Panthers Plus. Get more sports news in our social feed. So get connected and stay updated with Sports Radio WFNC app today. In the meantime, if you were on the newly updated, the new and improved WFNZ Sports app or the Sports Radio WFNZ app, you would have known Matt Rhule was on this station yesterday with the clubhouse with KB, and you and I both commented that he finally said the best possible thing that he could say on why they went with Sam Darnold as the quarterback and J.C. Horn as the eighth pick.
There were quarterbacks that we had rated really high, and I believe are going to go on and have tremendous, tremendous careers. But Sam Darnold, you know, we brought him here for a reason. We think that he has had some really good moments as the quarterback of the Jets. He had a great connection with Robbie when Robbie was there. And you know what? I just think he sometimes needs a fresh start. And to me, it was either, you know, another quarterback or Sam plus JC. And that combination of either, you know, having a quarterback or having a quarterback plus another what we think is elite potential player, the math made sense for us to go with two versus one.
If Matt Rhule had said that on draft night, when instead what he said was, I'm not going to talk about other players, but Sam's here for a reason. Mm-hmm. If he had said what he said yesterday with Bailey, and by the way, he said something very, very similar with Zach Gelb yesterday on WFNZ on the CBS Sports Radio Network later on after our show, if he had said this, while I still would have been furious the day after the night of round one of the NFL draft.
You're still furious.
Oh, no. No,
it just sounds different.
No, I wouldn't say I'm furious. I'm disappointed, all right? I'm a dad. I don't get furious. I get disappointed. Uh-uh. But I while I would have still been disappointed, I would have said, I understand that mentality.
Do you believe him?
Yes.
I don't.
Why not?
I don't think there was ever a point. I don't say that I'm not. I don't believe Coach Rhule that they had guys on the board. I told you the night they took them. I do not believe on their board J.C. Horn was the next best player available. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it. I think that Justin Fields was rated higher, but they weren't going to take Justin Fields. He knows he can't tell us that because he's trying to avoid Sam having to deal with the comparison to Justin Fields even more intense than it's going to already be from me and you.
That might be
and
right.
And others that feel like we feel.
That might be right.
This is him trying to do the PR thing, and he's doing a great job.
But then if you're going to do that, you have to nail it, and he finally did. But I think there is a risk in all of this. And it's something that was really a lot of part of my pre-draft mentality on the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, I think sometimes you hear somebody call Sam Darnold a slappy, or you hear
somebody
Sam Darnold versus Dan Arnold, or any of the things that I've had to say. Still one of the best shows, top five bits in show history, and I mean in the time slots history even.
And y'all set me up with that too. Yeah. Y'all slid it in the other day during the rundown.
Just you wait.
Billy was in on it, too.
Billy and I will bring back Sam Darnold or Dan Arnold
Please. Let that go.
Oh, that's
continue,
just,
please.
We're going to do it the next time that he's in studio.
God.
However, as we have this conversation, part of my concern pre-draft was that it felt like Sam Darnold or bust. Mm-hmm. If you didn't take a quarterback in the first three rounds, mm-hmm. it felt like Sam Darnold or bust. And I question the legitimacy of doing that a year after you did the same thing with Teddy Bridgewater. Last year, from the quarterback perspective, Teddy was going to have to be better than who he had been in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't work out, you weren't going to P.J. Walker, you weren't going to Will Greer. And I can tell you that they don't think P.J. Walker or Will Greer can start. Because they didn't go to them
when Teddy Bridgewater was
bleeping the bed at right. the end of the season. So this isn't to revisit. Listen, I'm fine. I've moved on from Justin Fields. Mm. I wish that dude the best in Chicago. And I will say, I'm less annoyed with the Panthers than I am the entirety of the NFL who let this guy go from QB2 to QB4 without a real explanation. But as I reel it in, there is a major that the flaw in the Death Star, if we can use that analogy,
no doubt,
is that it is Sam Darnold or bust.
Yes.
And I made the comparison to the New York Giants. Dave Gettleman did the same thing with Daniel Jones his first 2 years in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody that Dave Gettleman brought in. And by the way, he still hasn't. There's nobody that Gettleman brought in.
Who the hell is the backup?
That can truly compete with Daniel Jones. And I think that you're in a position with a New York Giants team. That defense is good enough to make a dent in the playoffs. They've got enough talent around Daniel Jones to be interesting in the playoffs. The problem is if the quarterback falls on his bleep, then you're going to be the same team that went 6-10 last year. And that is my concern. It's not that Sam Darnold will fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's what if Sam Darnold does fail, because I think they're more talented. Listen, Teddy failed last year, and they went 5-11.
You know, it's crazy. Teddy had a career year.
Yeah, well, okay.
Statistically,
it's a little bit of a word.
I know what you mean. Yes,
but like Teddy failed, and you still went 5-11. This team is better. Sam can fail, and you can go 8-9. And then you truly start to get into quarterback purgatory because you don't have the picks next year to trade up, and you're hoping a quarterback will fall for you again. So, again, it's more about what happens if Sam Darnold doesn't work out. You've safeguarded yourself in every way, Stan.
There's depth at every other position.
At corner, at linebacker, at defensive line.
Safety is questionable, but not like the quarterback.
But you have NFL bodies.
You have dudes that have started at safety that are going to be backups.
If P.J. Walker has to start more than four games,
season's over.
It's awful. But it's not over in the way you're going to want it to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be over the way this last year was.
This is no disrespect to PJ. We're just talking about the quarterback room. I saw some things I liked from PJ Walker in that one start last year versus Detroit. But the moment Teddy was healthy, he wasn't going back out there. The contract demands that Teddy go back out there. That's just how this works. So I'm with you, brother. I think you're asking. And this, the rest of the draft came and went. And when they didn't bring in a dude to even be a developmental quarterback, that said to me, it reaffirmed what passing on Justin Fields two nights previous had already told me. They are 100% Sam Darnold or bust.
Mm-hmm.
And when I listen to Matt Rhule, Nick, he's not afraid if Sam Darnold doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, like, there's no threat to his job. Fitterer just got there.
See, but I
don't sense the urgency that we have to get the quarterback right.
It's so wild to me that he wouldn't, because one, I don't care if you've got a 10-year contract. Like, the pressure to win in the NFL is there constantly.
You would think.
And it wears on you constantly because you're in it, you have to live it, and losing sucks.
Losing,
right? Like
suck.
Borrego has admitted at points. His first year in the NBA, he knew he wasn't getting fired at the end of that year, but the losing wore on him as the season went on. Because it's just a pressure cooker.
Guys are putting a ton of time in there. The commitment to win is crazy.
But the idea that there would be, at every other part of this roster, a emphasis on we've got to get this right, we've got to have an overwhelming amount of depth, and then at quarterback you're like, he'll succeed, he won't succeed, we'll find out. That's where to me it doesn't lie. For the guy who hates losing, for the guy who doesn't tank, he said it. It's not in his vocabulary. I'm not saying they're tanking. That would be stupid and hyperbole. But just going with Sam and saying, well, it's Sam Darnold or bust, you're leaving yourself open to an option that you're going to show your hindquarters if in nine games we say, wow, this dude really can't play quarterback. And that's it. It's needless.
Listen,
because I think they're onto something. I think the roster is onto something.
They definitely are onto something. They took a risk. The risk started the moment they told Cam get out of the building. And then they chose Teddy. Everything they've done, including Sam Darnold, is to try and rectify that mistake. Okay, they may have just compounded. I say may. We'll find out. They may have just compounded that mistake by passing on Fields. There's only one thing that's going to save the day here. And that's if Sam Darnold has a career year over the next two seasons. He's going to have to show us enough because Sam's playing for a contract. Sam knows that Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are about to get Dak Prescott money plus some. And he's going to want some of that as a former number three overall pick. So he knows he's got to go out there and show I can get this team vying for a playoff position, which Matt Rhule told us yesterday, or last night on some sound, that that's the goal. Nick? But if they're wrong, they're going to cut Sam Darnold. And we're going to be doing this whole exercise again next year.
And I'm going to tell you why that's not the worst case scenario. It's not a good scenario. That's not what I'm selling here. Mm-hmm. And I will be shouting from the mountaintops. I will be going up to Boone. I'll be getting a megaphone. There will be a resounding chorus, if Nick Wilson was right, from the hills that echo across on down to Metrolina and beyond. But that still is a better situation than Sam gets hurt again. That Sam plays seven games and looks some varying degrees of meh.
Because then you're unsure, can he play or can he not? You're caught in the middle.
704-570-9610. I also wonder, is it doing a disservice to Sam Darnold to not let the locker room see him beat somebody out and truly earn his job? Sam Darnold has been gifted a job for 3 years, and I say that with all due love and respect for a guy who has put the work in. Mm-hmm. The results just haven't shown it. He's been gifted a job for three straight years, never challenged in his life. And now he's coming to a new organization where the results didn't pay off him not being challenged in New York. And now you're trying to sell a locker room on Sam Darnold. You get into camp and he looks like butt. There's going to be dudes looking around saying, remind me what again I'm putting my knees and neck on the line for?
Yeah, if he plays well, the locker room will follow. If he's a slappy, the defense knows, and Christian McCaffrey is going to be very tired on Sundays again.
704-570-9610. Is it smart that Carolina hasn't brought in a second veteran quarterback? Not to beat Sam Darnold out, not to truly beat him out, but to go ahead and have some insurance for Sam Darnold. The Rundown, next on Sports Radio FNZ.